Hope you guys are all doing well. This episode is titled The Wait. If you are currently in the process, you understand what that term is all too well. This is an excellent conversation that I had with Giovanni that took place after his auditions were complete and he had not gotten any decisions from schools as of yet. This was recorded February 29th of 2024, just as a time mark for future listeners. I hope you enjoy listening. I just wanted to get this out to you from an authentic point of view before we actually really hear anything. The fact that he hasn't heard anything, I don't know. I hope it's good. I think I'm supposed to think that it's good. You know, he's so in touch with kids who are also going through the process just by virtue of his summer programs and getting to know those students who know other students. And so it just becomes like this pod of our kids, especially with social media, being in touch and trying to be informed and anticipating what's to come. So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of rumblings happening, but who knows? You know, I've told him, just know that anything that you are hearing about, like, decisions for such and such a school are coming out tomorrow. I don't think you can trust that. So we just wait, support, and love our children. I'm right here with you, especially this year. If you are a parent, I am exactly where you are right now with a student who is hoping to be part of a musical theater college program in the fall of 2024. If you are finding this waiting time difficult, you are not crazy. Whatever you're thinking, feeling, questioning, tearing up over, wanting to scream about is valid. This is a really tough part of the process. Everything is done, but it is filled with so much anxiousness about hearing from the schools. And not only if you're going to hear that you got in or not, just the whole mystery of when are you going to find out? Are they going to make phone calls first? Are they going to send emails first? Will those be no's? Will those be yeses? I would really love to see this part of the process that just is not the best that it can be in the interest of these kids that are going through it, not to mention us as their parents. There's got to be a better way to commonize, I guess, like they did with pre-screens, to be required or somehow keep the students updated about the timing of your process as a school, that you expect decisions will begin to be made by this date. If schools could just share what is going on in their decision-making process, I honestly think it would make the wait, quote unquote, so much more sane and less full of anxiety. I think that's a fair request. It hasn't gotten easier with each child. It has not gotten easier. And we wait, getting a feel for what point he's at in the process. Here is my conversation with Giovanni. I truly hope this little glimpse can help. Welcome to my chat with Gio. Here you go.
So So, where are we?
Right now, college auditions are over. I'm in tech right now for my own show. So, even like the thoughts of my audition process, which was only a couple weeks ago, have kind of slipped my mind because I'm so immersed in this show that I'm in right now, which is going great. Yeah, I am waiting for schools. I know that in this next coming week and basically any day now, I could get a call from any school, whether it's a rejection or a yes, that's gonna like shape the next my whole life is. So it's kind of a crazy feeling, but at this point, try to not think about it too much and just, I don't know, breathe through whatever is to come. And there's a lot of chaos right now, and like, oh my gosh, did the school come out? Like, did they call yet? Did they send out their no's? And oh my gosh, like, am I gonna get a yes because other people got no's? Or like, did people already get yeses so I'm about to get a no? You're always trying to predict what's gonna happen, but you just can never really know unless the school reaches out to you directly. So, yeah.
What did it take to get here to today?
Yep. Well, I've been doing musical theater my whole entire life. I think that's like a good place to start. But I knew halfway through high school that I was going to end up auditioning for colleges. So this has been on my mind for a while. At the beginning of this year, which I think is a better place to start, senior year, I already had a great concept of schools and what programs fit me just because I've been immersed in this world from a young age because of my brothers. But for somebody who isn't, I think start of senior year and maybe even the summer going into that is a great time, and maybe even earlier, like spring junior year, to find out more about these programs, to find out what these programs are. There's Midwest schools, there's schools in New York, like Texas State, like that's so random, but these programs are scattered all over the US, and finding out what program is best gonna suit you and where you're gonna audition at. For me, I knew I wanted to make a very narrow list. And for others that may be different, they may find, I don't know, 20 schools that appeal to them. And they're like, well, I'm gonna apply to all these. So,
But can I stop you there?
yes.
Because in the third go around of this, I'm torn because I know the college coach audition process and that they recommend that you have your far reach, your reach, your target, your safety, and then your for sure, which would be a non-auditioning school. If you were working with a coach, I think it would be very difficult for them to let you limit your list to what you have.
Yeah, having a college audition coach is a whole nother conversation, but in my experience, it's been so different because my safety has kind of been going academic, and I'm very comfortable with that idea that if I don't go anywhere for musical theater, I'll go academic, and like that's like a very realistic path for me, and one that doesn't like scare me. And I know for most people in this field that are applying, they're like, well, I'm going to school for musical theater, and that's great. And
And I'm doing that, and if I'm not doing that, then
then I don't have any other plan. Yeah. So at that point, I get applying to so many of these schools, but musical theater is such a weird and small program to program, and you have no idea what these schools are thinking with who they pick. And the thoughts of having a target or reaches or your perfect schools or schools that are guaranteed, it's just not really a thing in musical theater that you can even begin to predict.
But if the goal is to attend somewhere, right? That long categorized list makes sense. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter if you really, really want to go to school for musical theater. Do you think? Yeah, I want to hear what you think. Where you go? Does it matter?
I think it's all about optimizing your 4 years. I mean, I think no matter where you're going to end up, if you're really passionate about this field and know that it's something that is going to suit you well and that you're going to love, I think no matter what school you go to, if they have a program that wants to serve you and that you're willing to take everything they give you out of and not like neglect the school because it's not a CCM or a Michigan, but it's a different, smaller program.
For you, why wouldn't that have worked?
my personal mindset is, and where I came from, is this is already a very harsh field. And I have seen with my own eyes how harsh it can really get and how uncertain it can get. And my goal was to put as much certainty into this process as I possibly could. And on the other hand, I was never going to be able to make this decision for myself whether I wanted to do musical theater or go academic if, say, I got into a smaller program that I'm not very sure about, but I'm like willing to try out, and at the same time I get into Michigan academically. Like, that would just throw off my whole entire process. So my choice was that I really wanted to go to a top program because going to a top program would give me the most certainty that I could make a career out of this. And then if I didn't get into one of those programs, that was kind of a sign that just this wasn't the career path for me.
Right. So that was like your personal mindset. I understand and respect the other approach that I'm talking about, which is just exhaustive. Applying to 20 schools. That is really today, if you really, really, if you are just dead set on going to school for musical theater, I would say, especially in running a business as a coach, you have to recommend that.
Yeah, yeah. And you would never want a student to not get into a college. Because then, I mean, yeah, it's your job.
Right. So speak a little bit on your mindset. How invested are you? Or how much do you allow the mentality of a plan B? And how do you work between being dedicated to, yes, I want to go to school for musical theater, but, you know, if it works out that you don't get in anywhere,
mm-hmm.
then you take it from there.
Yeah, so I think until this point, I've kind of built up the two major paths that I could possibly go down at this point in my life, which is going academic for whatever I want to major in.
Which has changed, like, so drastically. Which has changed
daily, because that gets less focus.
Yeah.
But I've still set myself up for a lot of success with that. Mm-hmm. And then...
How so?
I mean, keeping really good academics. I've been in sports all throughout high school, which is not common for somebody in musical theater, but I think gives me a whole different skill set and perspective and sense of leadership. And I could talk about that. That's a whole nother tangent, but...
You said you've set yourself up. Even going into first semester senior year, you took a rigorous schedule,
mm-hmm.
and caring about it because you felt like it was important to continue to do well, mm-hmm. and improve.
And I think the benefits of having a goal like getting into a good academic college on top of MT has led me to the ability to have enough motivation to do other things outside of musical theater.
Yeah, you are driven, and I think this is very good to talk about that. In my experience through the years, I've heard on several occasions, if your child is interested in anything else, that's what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always kind of like haunted me.
Yeah.
But I think especially with you, third time around, we are in such a good place with being so okay.
Be okay with what?
Be okay with however this works out. Not that it's been a casual, you know, oh, we're just going to see what happens. I mean, you have, similar to your academics, because you have been so invested in MT, making sure that you're growing in your skills by using the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, it came down to, I would rather fail doing MT than fail doing anything else, which is kind of an interesting perspective to have into it. But I think that going to college academically is thought of as safe, but the advantages that that gives you if you're going to go to school and not take your academics seriously and just want to live a social life and just be there for like the party and take your free vacation for 4 years. I think at that point...
But not everybody is a
person. Not everybody does that. But let's just say that that was the other plan.
For you?
Oh, no. But
if you were to be in an academic college environment, it's going to be a much lighter experience. A much more free, self-determined, day-to-day experience.
But at that point, working your butt off every day in an MT class, I think this is a whole nother tangent, but once you get high up in the world of musical theater, these people become like high level athletes because they train and work in the same way. You don't get there if you're not busting your butt every single day, working on your material, working on your voice. If you don't really love this, it is exactly like a competitive athletic, that if you're not training and keeping up with everybody else and going to be like lackadaisical about it, you're just not going to be able to compete at the high level that these very, very talented performers are. So I think that going into MT and becoming one of those people who had that work ethic actually translates to the real world better than option B, which is going academically and whatever.
Taking what you said and running with it, one thing that I've come to realize through the years, you do need to be a very focused and disciplined person to take on the 4 years of being a musical theater student in a college program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to be so mentally sound. You have to be physically sound. You have to be ready for a new mistake and a new challenge every single day. Once you get to musical theater school, nobody there is going to be praising you on how good you are because everybody's good. And I learned at like 10 years old when I went to my first ever voice lesson. I went there and I remember I was upset because I thought he was going to tell me how good I sound. And he obviously did not because it's a voice lesson.
Right.
And I probably did not sound very good.
But you had performed already on several occasions.
Yeah.
In our community anyway.
Yeah.
Prevalent roles in shows. And so,
yeah. Hey. And I was a very talented kid, but at a certain point, I had to realize that I was talented, but talent wasn't going to get me to the point where I could compete with anybody because people would just work harder than me. And people did work harder than me, and then I had to catch back up. But that's been this past 4 years of just putting my head down and going to work at this art that I really love.
Yeah. So, this reminds me of a certain turning point. You were super overwhelmed and torn about people out there who are doing this 24/7.
Yep. Early junior year, I went to solo and ensemble.
Oh, right.
And I remember telling myself, this is going to be like the last theater thing that I do. Not like overall theater, but beyond the scope of just performing, doing something to try and elevate myself as a performer. Like, I'm done with that. I'm going to enjoy these next couple of years performing, call it raps and go academic, I remember. But then I did Thespian Festival and I had a main stage performance a month and a half after that.
I mean, I so remember you. We were in our family room. You were sitting on the couch and you were just so torn and you were just like, maybe I'm not going to do this. We were talking through everything, expressing all of your concerns, and I was devil's advocate. You do not have to be doing this 24/7. Actually, I think it's an advantage to not.
Yeah, we live in Michigan and located in northern Michigan, one of the best boarding musical theater high schools, Interlochen. Kids who go to Interlochen are trained. Right. They are amazing performers.
Right. That's what they do.
That's what they do. They're musical theater kids. And at one point, I almost thought about going to Interlochen. I was like, no. And then went to Liggett. Basically, what that has meant is that I've really had to take my own agency and my training and finding people to work with on my acting and my voice and becoming like a good dancer. There was not always people around me telling me what to do and what to change. So I kind of had to become my own teacher.
Your own advocate.
Yeah.
For resources. Yeah. And so after you did this and you were on main stage and you got this resurgence and you were back invested, we were like, okay, we got to figure this out. What resources do we need to find for you to grow? And that was finding a voice teacher, an hour away.
Yeah.
Big deal to drive there. And then also, I think your summer programs and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the original topic of this was what's happening with college decisions. We've been on tangent just about my
career. I'm not even really sure why I got off on that tangent, but let's return. So let's just skip forward to now. Give a brief summary of your auditions.
Yeah. Pre-screen process, I end up applying to 6 schools after a lot of consideration on where I want to apply. I filmed my first round of pre-screens, and those videos were way off, and even taking the time to film those was a major factor stress the first time because I was in football season. Those videos had problems, so we had to refilm them. My whole entire pre-screen process was really, really stressful. That was where the lack of official guidance really felt like it was seeping in, because nobody was, all right, you need to pick out your songs by now and we need to record on this specific day so we can send it by then. I ended up submitting on the very, very last day to all my schools because I just didn't have a lot of structure and deadlines. But then pre-screens got sent in and then got my answers. We looked at a couple options on which unified events we wanted to go to and where we wanted to go on campus, but we just settled on doing basically everybody at Unified and then going to Michigan on campus because they're so close. I went to Chicago. My first audition was Texas State. Shook off the rust with them, and that went pretty well. I just rolled from there. Went to CCM, then Penn State, and finished on campus with Michigan. I would say that I'm actually surprised by how little gauge I have of how my voice and monologue auditions went, because I think I was so invested in what I was performing that I wasn't really gauging how I was performing, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. I think that's good that I was like that in that moment.
Yeah, you walked out of all the rooms feeling really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I am waiting on answers from schools, waiting on this super big decision that's going to shape a lot of things. So
what do you think has been the hardest? I know this is hard. The waiting is hard. There's no action happening. But aside from that, what has been the hardest?
Pre-screens. And just because it was at a terrible time for me, because I was mid-football season. Yeah, for me, it was pre-screens. And I was coming off of sickness and a whole lot of stuff.
Which would speak to get them done.
Yeah.
By the end of August. Be ready to submit early September,
mm-hmm.
Which I feel like part of me is, but there's so much more development that could happen in those next 12 weeks before you would be required to submit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
How are you coping with this waiting period?
I'm so busy again with the show that it's honestly a pretty good distraction. It's hard. People are texting back and forth. They're like, oh my God, did this school come out? Did this school come out? And that's just a common thing with this process, is that you never know what day schools are going to come out. You never know if they're going to call or email or how you're going to find out. So I think the best way to just think about this is, I would say don't listen too much to all the chaos going on around you. And don't think about your auditions. I think after you audition, that should be like the last thing that you're thinking about. That was a performance, it's been good. That's over now and you're on this whole like new journey. And I think kind of just rediscovering myself as a performer after auditions and not preparing for the approval of somebody else, but just performing because I want to perform has been really nice. So just enjoy this time. Don't freak out about it. You can freak out when the school actually contacts you. Until then, there's no reason to stress about it.
Okay. What would you recommend to the parent who's going through this process?
You have to be comfortable with things being messy, because that's the realistic thing that's going to end up happening, is that everybody is going to be saying how perfect everything's going and how like splendidly organized things are. But everybody is going through some sort of chaos in this process, and something's always going wrong and something's going great, but nobody ever wants to talk about the fact that you're going to feel like not very ready about this. I've done theater my whole life. There realistically were very small margins on what more I could have done before my auditions in preparation. And I felt like I was extremely unprepared. So I think that it's important that somebody who...
Which is just crazy.
Yeah, somebody who doesn't even, like, meet that threshold, you're going to feel so in shock and unprepared. And maybe that just because I have been thinking about this for so long, there's so much writing on it, and I never really would have felt up to the
really
point, like, that I wouldn't have been to. Yeah.
Parents are tuning into this being like, okay, should I be freaking out? Do I need to freak out? I'm stressing more than they are. Why? Is that okay? There's so many things. What's the best thing that a parent can do to support their child?
There's so many things. Yeah, I don't know. Just give them as many resources as you possibly can. Just support them in what they feel is going to work best for them.
Yep. Love it.
All right, I'm going to bed.
Okay. All right. And now we wait.
Now we wait.
I love you. Good night. Okay. Gio has left, gone to bed. It's almost midnight. I mean, this is not abnormal. Right now, he's in the phase of going to his high school musical rehearsal after school. He comes home, does his homework, and then he goes and works out. And now he's going to bed. So I pressed him on getting this chat in because I really wanted you guys to hear where he was, where we're at, where I'm at. Honestly, there was a lot of stress through the process. Just so many things that you think the third time through wouldn't be the case. It's such an uncertain time. And based on my previous experiences of final acceptances or no's from schools, I am bracing myself for what's to come. And if you've listened to my podcast, you have heard some big emotions. I guess the scenario that I'm most bracing myself for is the possibility that he wouldn't get in anywhere. We've discussed it, and if that's the case, then it just wasn't meant to be. This was important to him, but he also wanted to be part of his athletic teams and mentoring groups and, you know, do it all in high school and do everything to a high level and progress and improve in anything that he's interested in. As a parent, I leaned into supporting him in that and trusting that would be something positive towards this process. That has definitely shown in the evolution of his interests and developing his skills in the musical theater disciplines. He kind of touched on, he was so concerned at one point about not being able to hold his own in comparison to the kids who are immersed in their artistic art as their education. And we just got past that. He had that performance on stage at Thespian Festival. It was the surgence of a commitment to working towards college musical theater, but still living his truth. And so that is where we're at. We have no answers at this point. Penn State did send out something very soon after audition saying, you're still in our pool of consideration. And then Texas State sent something out saying they will be releasing acceptances on a rolling basis. And basically, don't freak out if you hear that people are accepted or they've gotten the response of, we want to let you know that we're moving forward. Thank you for auditioning for us. Unfortunately, they put it in some words that are in an effort to make sense. The other thing I just want to say, their acceptances are not solely based on talent. They are looking at their whole pool of students going forward. They can only have so many of each type, voice part, of each dance ability. There's so much more that goes into this than just where you rank in comparison to other students in your abilities. So I think that's so important to consider. So just on a personal note, in this stage of the process, I feel very
I want to choose the right word here. I feel very vulnerable. I guess I just feel emotional about what's to come. Whatever they're feeling is multiplied in your heart. So that is where I sit right now. If you are in the process in this time of 2024 with your child, I'm sure that you're 100% relating to what I'm saying. And if you're looking forward to the process, I just hope that this helps you in some way. Not that it's going to save you from feeling all the things that I'm talking about, but my hope is you feel informed, and somehow by listening, you feel part of a community that is experiencing the same journey of emotions and thoughts. So I am just going to wrap it up there. I hope you're hanging in there, that you're trusting that everything is going to work out, that you're having conversations with your child about where they're at in the process, but it's stressful. Giovanni, it took me some coaxing to have him sit down and chat tonight because he does have so much going on. It's so tough, but whatever energy is happening between you and your child, I don't even know what really to say about it. What I try to do is just give him his space and try to broach where his mind's at. Also bring to light the possibilities without, I do not want to temper any excitement. I just want to be a sounding board and a solid foundation, being realistic, but also being supportive. It's such a fine line. And I hope by coming on and sharing that somehow this is helpful to you as a parent, as you go through this process with your child and whatever is to come. So please feel free to contact me with any questions. I'd love for you to comment on my podcast. I'm trying to move into a little bit of TikTok. I don't really know how to do that. I'm just looking into it right now and trying to figure that out. So here we wait. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Hang in there. Be well.